Hey everybody, it's Rick. Welcome back to the Nomad Pastor Podcast. Today, we're going to do like a couple more verses in Philippians, right? We're finishing up chapter 4. We got this episode, and then we'll have one more episode and we'll be done with Philippians, and we'll kind of move on to some other stuff. And I think the direction of the podcast may change a little bit, you know, where we're not going through books of the Bible, but we're doing more interactive interviews and things like that. We've done that kind of successfully, you know, a couple times now, and I really like the way that that goes, right? And the things that we talk about will be more topical, right? Like we talked about Mormons and progressive Christianity. And so I think once I finish up Philippians, we'll kind of figure out what it's going to look like. But today, I really want to talk about what does it mean to have strength? And as I started thinking about this next part of Philippians, I just kind of wanted to try to understand what it means to be strong, or what does it mean to have strength? And so if you look up the definition, it seems pretty clear to me, but maybe it's not, right? The definitions, you know, it says there's three options or three qualities of strength, right? And the first is the quality or state of being strong, right? The capacity for exertion or endurance, right? Like I'm physically strong. Well, the second is the power to resist force, right? Toughness. And the third is the power of resisting an attack, right? Impregnability. And so these are amazing definitions of strength, but is this what Paul is talking about in this section of Philippians that we're getting ready to review? I think we really have to understand this, right? And to understand this, we need to do a little bit more before we just start with it, right? So today we'll start with Philippians 10 and we'll finish with Philippians 13. And like normal, I'm going to read them first and then I'll unpack each verse so that we can truly understand what Paul is trying to say, or we'll unpack a couple verses at a time. I don't know. We'll just kind of go with the flow. We're going to start with Philippians 10, 4 through 13. It says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. So the reason that I think it's important for us to spend some time looking at a little bit of the scripture before 4:13 is that we want to try to understand what Paul was thinking, because it's going to help us learn, right? I hear a lot of people, a lot of Christians say that, you know, their life verse or their favorite verse is Philippians 4:13, which it's an amazing verse. And if it's your favorite verse of your life verse, praise God, right? I can do all things through him who gives me strength. But sometimes I feel bad because I ask him, like, why is that your favorite verse? Why is that your life verse? But the answer they give is incomplete. Or sometimes they just say, I love it. Or I just love what it stands for. And while that's a good reason, can I just say, if you claim that something is your favorite verse, expect someone to ask why. And be prepared to answer it. I know that the people that I've asked, they know why. They have a story to tell. They have a story about that verse, but maybe they haven't planned for the question. So they simply say, because, or I just like it. Or, you know, if you're talking, and especially if you're talking to a non-believer and you say, well, that's my favorite verse, and they ask you that question, be ready to answer that question in detail. And I know that sometimes it's hard. You know, maybe it's very personal and that person who's asking it, you don't know them well enough to tell that personal story, or you don't feel like you did, but that personal story, your story, will give a personal side to the relationship that you have with Christ. So the more personal it is, the stronger the impact is going to be. So I would ask you to just consider that when someone asks you why that's your favorite verse or that's your life verse, just be ready to answer it. All right, so now that I kind of strayed off a little bit, I guess, we're going to get back to reviewing these four verses. So in these four verses, Paul is explaining to the church in Philippi that his heart is full, right? That he's glad or he's happy because of the continued concern they have for him and that the continued concern that they have showed him, that they never forgot him, right? God used them to meet the needs that Paul had, right? And Paul had learned at this point to master the extremes of life. It didn't matter whether he had a little bit or a lot, plenty, or not very much at all. He was content with what comes from Christ in whatever circumstance he was in, right? And at this point, Paul was never, he was never the victim of circumstances. He had learned by his experiences. And what he had learned is the secret to peace. And as Paul starts with rejoicing in the Lord for the concern they renewed, he is thankful for the gifts they sent, right? That's what he's saying. He says, I rejoice in the Lord in the Lord for your concern. And it's because they renewed He was able to recognize that they were continually concerned and he was thankful for what they had sent him. Now he does clarify that he knows that they had always been concerned, but they didn't have a way to show it, right? So even though he was happy to get them the gifts, right, and they gave him encouragement, he wasn't relying on them, you know. And frankly, he wasn't asking for more gifts at this time. He could honestly tell the church in Philippi that he had learned the secret of being content, the secret to peace, and it didn't matter if he had a little or a lot. He knew that his Lord, Christ, would not fail to give him what was necessary and to give him strength in every situation. Now, I think it's important that we really focus on this part, right? How amazing is it to know that Christ is never going to fail to give you what is necessary? Never. Now I know today this is hard because there's a huge, vast difference between what is necessary and what we believe is necessary, or even worse, what we want, right? So we have to know, we must know that the Lord is not going to fail to give us what we need. He's not going to fail to give us strength in the face of any situation. Right, this verse 4:13 is powerful. It's a powerful one, and we should learn a lot from it. Right, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. I mean, that's powerful, no matter what. And we have to learn from Paul in this situation. So let's just start with the first two words. Right, I can. In today's society, it's easy to say I can't. We hear people say, I can't all the time, right? I can't control my anger. I've said that. I can't control my fear. I can't deal with jealousy. I can't stop drinking. I can't lose weight. That's my go-to one, right? I can't lose weight. I can't go on a diet. I love food. And those who know me know that I love food, right? I can't afford to pay my tithing. I can't pray in public. I can't live a healthy life. On and on and on. I challenge you to just sit and spend some time thinking about how negative those two words are. I can't. And instead of the negative, consider the positive, right? Instead, focus on what you can do. Focus on what you do have. Focus on the possibilities and the power of the Holy Spirit. See, after those first two words, I can, those words are followed by do all things. And so when Paul is saying, I can do all things, he's saying he didn't care about public opinion or he didn't care about having the right people endorse him or the right people love him. He didn't care about the public opinion about what he was doing. I mean, if he cared, he would have done things differently and he wouldn't be in prison. You know, I mean, if you just look at the list of Paul's accomplishments, they're not only impressive throughout his life, it's only possible with Christ. That's it. Because he set out to do all things. And he started with, I can. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I know it might be overwhelming to think about. You know, if you think about everything that we're supposed to achieve as Christians, right? We're supposed to go and make disciples of all nations. So we're supposed to do evangelism and world missions, and we're responsible for world peace and world hunger, right? We got to fix it all. But we can't do it all, right? There's another we can't or I can't. I know that most people have maybe heard this, but if you ever heard anybody say, you know, how do you eat an elephant? And the answer is always one bite at a time. You know, if you look at the pattern that Paul has set for us through his life, he did just that. He went to one place at a time and he completed one mission at a time. And this is the pattern we need to follow, right? We can't let ourselves get overwhelmed by trying to do everything. You know, I've said this a lot. A lot of people sometimes don't understand what I'm saying. They think I'm crazy, but, you know, you'll hear me sometimes say, you know, just take a break, calm down. You can't boil the ocean. Because it's this overwhelming task. But if you just take one pot at a time and you put it on a burner, it's going to boil. That's the pattern that has been set for us. Don't try to do it all. Do that one thing and do it good. And if you look at the pattern, that's the same pattern set by Jesus. You know, he went one place. It's pretty simple, right? He would go one place at a time. And he would preach. And he would teach. And then we'd go to the next place. We cannot do everything. But we must do something. You know, as we try to finish this up, right, we do have to finish that sentence. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. It's clear that Christ alone is our strength, that he gives us power to face every obstacle. He daily gives us power. He daily gives me power. He gives me power every hour, every minute, every second of every day. And if we depend on our own power, we're going to fail. When we depend on our own power, that's when we say, I can't. We fail. But if we depend on the strength of Christ, we can. I can. I can do anything. Now, it might not be the way I want it. It's going to be the way Christ wants it. I can do all things. And this is why he's able to rejoice even when he's in prison, right? He had learned that secret to peace, the secret to rest in his mind through the power of God, that no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation, he was content. He was at peace with whatever was going to happen. You know, this peace is not found in what happens to us. Right? A lot of bad things can happen to us. And some good things can happen to us as well. But peace is not found in what happens to us. It is found in what is happening in us. Right? What does Christ and the Holy Spirit do in my life, in me? That's where that peace is found. That's where that strength is found. You know, the renewal of our lives through our faith in Christ, that's what it's about. And when we walk with Jesus, when we allow Jesus to replenish us daily, we have endless power. We have endless power that pumps into our lives every hour, second, minute of the day, period. And I think that's what this verse is about, right? It's not about physical power. It's about the strength and the mental power to be at peace, to know I can, regardless of what it follows, right? I can be in recovery. I can stop drinking. I can live a healthy life. I can be faithful. I can overcome anxiety. I can overcome fear. I can, all these different things. I can because of Christ. And I want you to think about that, and I want you to pray about that, because it's important. So as we finish this up today, I want you to remember that you can, that you are worthy, that you can be at peace with Christ because he strengthens you to do that. Hey, everybody, it's Rick. This is the Nomad Pastor Podcast. Thank you for listening. If you like it, subscribe. Share it with your friends. Tell them. If you got a question or a thought, or you want to kind of know the direction that the podcast is going, send me an email at hello@nomadpastor.org. Thanks, everybody. Have a blessed day and a blessed week.